thank you all for coming out this morning. I promised during the course of the campaign that I would reveal details of our tax reduction plan before football season was over. And football season's not over, so we are actually a little bit early in this rollout, but I think the time is right. And we start with what I have been speaking of in this campaign, which is that Arkansas is not competitive in its income tax structure. And let's look at the Arkansas state income tax as it compares to other states. You look at Arkansas with the highest rate in the region at 7%. Missouri is lower. Tennessee is lower. And Tennessee, of course, is 0% actually on the wage earn. Mississippi is lower. Louisiana is lower. Texas, of course, has zero that we lose a lot of entrepreneurs to. Oklahoma is at a lower rate and has lowered taxes. So not only are we not competitive right now, but you also have some governors in these other states that realize the advantage and are still trying to reduce their taxes even more. And so we are not competitive. This makes a difference for Arkansas, and we have to make progress in reducing our state individual income tax. Why is this important? Because it impacts recruitment of industry. It limits job creation. My passion for this campaign is job creation, and this is one of the factors that limits our ability to create jobs in Arkansas. And it is hurtful or unfair to our citizens to have a non-competitive state income tax rate. And so today I'm pleased to announce some specifics in regard to our plan. In order to create more jobs in Arkansas, I will gradually reduce the state income tax, and we will start with the middle class. If you make between $20,000 and $75,000 a year, you will see a significant reduction in your state individual income tax rate. This will be in my first year as governor of this state. I want to make three promises and underscore three points this morning. First of all, we will keep a balanced budget. Not only the law, but it's the right thing to do. We will keep a balanced budget. We will maintain our commitment to fund education. There's not any cuts involved. That is off the table. We will maintain our commitment to fund education. And the third promise is, goal that I have is that we will reduce income taxes for those making between $20,000 and $75,000 per year. What does this mean? This means that approximately $100 million that would have been spent otherwise will be put back into the private economy and spent to create jobs and to help the citizens of this state. It will mean a tax savings of around $300 for someone that's been a few years in the nursing profession. It will mean a tax break of $300 for someone who has been teaching maybe for 10 to 15 years. It will mean $300 tax savings approximately for someone making around $50,000 per year. This is money that will be spent by the taxpayers. It will help grow our economy and it will create jobs. But also significantly is it creates a more fair tax structure compared with our surrounding states. Let me provide some more details on this tax plan. For those making between $34,000 and $75,000 in their income level, the current rate is 7%. And this will be reduced under my plan from 7% to 6% for those making between $34,000 and $75,000. The second aspect of the plan is that for those making between $20,000, actually $20,400, and $34,000, the current rate is 6%. And this will be reduced to 5%. And so the rate under my plan for those between $20,000 and $75,000 a year in income will be a much more competitive 5% or 6% individual income tax rate. As you can see, at that income level, we are starting to be competitive. As the economy grows and surpluses increase, that we can gradually reduce the rates on higher income individuals. But let's start with the hardworking Arkansans who are in the middle class that need the relief the most and that can use this money for their own benefit and to spend. This will impact about, according to our figures, about 500,000 Arkansans. But again, it is not the end objective, but it is the start of this process to lower the 7% state income tax across the board for every Arkansan. Now, everybody asks, well, what's the cost of this? And I don't run DFMA, so I don't have all of the computer tools that they use, but according to our calculations, based upon 2011 DFMA numbers, it is estimated that this would be approximately $100 million. Now, let's put that in, where does that money come from? Well, there's no reduction in spending that's needed. No reduction in education spending, no reduction in spending on our prisons, no reduction in spending on our social service programs. No reduction in spending is necessary. This is paid for out of growth and surplus money. Currently, we have a $299 million surplus that was created last year. Some of it has had to be used for other items, but we still have sufficient to apply $100 million in surplus money for this tax reduction. And if you look at the future, our average rate of growth has been over 2%, which is more than sufficient to cover this tax reduction into the future. Obviously, as governor, I can plan this, I can set my goals, and this is what I want to campaign on during the coming year, which is job creation, partly supported by this more competitive tax structure. But in the end, whenever we convene the legislature, I've got to work in a bipartisan way to make sure we have the support of the legislature to accomplish this objective. And obviously, I want to work with the legislature in, for what I believe is the best path for job creation in the state of Arkansas. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
When you talk,
go ahead, Mark.
When you talk about without hurting our pivot to education, are you factoring in growth or just flat education budgets or what?
No, I mean.
I'm just trying to clarify what you mean by that.
No, that's a good question, and growth certainly can happen and will happen in education. We want to have controlled growth and efficiencies where possible. But for example, Governor Beebe has had increased spending in for education, but he's also lowered the sales tax on groceries. In this last session, we had over $100 million in tax relief from the last session. And so what my proposal is, rather than having a multitude of different types of tax proposals out there, let's concentrate on one key objective that maximizes the opportunity for job growth, which is reducing the state income tax rate. So that does not foreclose an increased investment in education.
What about specifically with pre-K funding?
Could you go ahead and tell me?
Yeah, I'm David Ramsey with Arkansas Times.
Okay.
Specifically with pre-K funding, Arkansas Better Chance program has been flat funded since 2008, so that hasn't seen growth. Would you expect that to continue to be flat funded, or is there room in your budget for an increase there on the pre-K?
The $100 million application of part of the surplus for tax reduction tax rates does not foreclose the opportunity to make an increase in funding in any other program in the state of Arkansas, including pre-K. Where do we come up with that number? They're based upon some 2011 numbers that State Representative Charles Collins got from DFNA that gave those figures as to the cost of that. And again, these are estimated figures. And you know, whenever DFNA gives their final analysis, because I mean, it could be a little bit more, it could be a little bit less, but that's an approximate figure based upon previously released DFNA analysis.
Representative Collins your running mate? I'm just kidding. No. You indicated this would be your primary tax cut focus. Are you opposed to some of the other proposals that may surface from legislators as well as other folks on targeted tax cuts in other areas?
You've got to have a focus. And what is the most important priority? And my judgment is this is the most important priority for job creation and for helping the greatest number of Arkansans. There's a lot of other legitimate needs out there, proposals out there. I think they missed the boat. For example, you know, if you have a targeted tax cut for industry, then that neglects the retail sector, that neglects tourism, that neglects the mom-and-pop store, that neglects agriculture. And so this is the only proposal that helps every sector of our economy, and that should be the highest priority. And if we're able to do more in terms of greater surpluses, more growth, then I'd like to expand the ability to reduce the rate to more people and more income levels. But first, the priority is middle income, $20,000 to $75,000, and then we'll go from there. So this does the greatest amount of job creation, and that's why it's my priority.
Is this easier to get done if the legislature in 2014 reauthorizes the private option? Since one thing the governor said is, look, if you don't reauthorize the private option, you may have to give up the very small income tax reduction they did during the session.
Right.
But this is much more substantial than that.
Well, I mean, you combine all of the tax cuts in the last session, if my memory is correct, because they lowered the income tax by 0.1 the last session. They had different breaks for industry groups. They had the reduction of the sales tax on groceries. All of those totaled up, my recollection is it's over $100 million. And so they've already shown that that's a, you know, you can fund and you actually grow commitments to education and other areas but still have that level of tax relief because of our growth. Also, you've got to look at our general improvement funding, which is why we spend our surplus. We're going to have a debate as to how we can curtail that in order to allow for the accomplishment of these objectives as well. But in terms of the private option and the impact on that, Governor Beebe makes the case that the funding of the private option actually saves us money and allows us to do these tax breaks. We will see what the facts are down the road. I think all of those numbers continue to come in. I think the cost figures are going to continue to come in. And so there's a lot of unknown that's going to happen between now and February. And so this is a separate, what we're proposing here certainly should not be dependent upon that debate. But there is some impact on that.
What's your position on what the legislature should do in February?
I have been very consistent from day one that, first of all, I would prefer to have a special session to address the Medicaid expansion issue, the private option issue. That didn't happen. They chose a different path. They approved it. It's the law of Arkansas right now. And so there may be a debate on the funding of that. Again, there's going to be a lot of factors that will be in play. What's Congress going to do? What President Obama's going to do? How is the development of the overall Obamacare rollout and what changes are going to be made impacts every decision that we've made by the legislature in February. So I believe it's certainly premature to say exactly what we should do, and it depends upon what other changes are made down the road.
So you don't, as of today, you don't have a position one way or the other on whether the appropriate funding?
I have a very clear position, which I just stated.
Do one more question.
Well, listen, thanks for being here today, and we'll do this again down the road. Thanks for coming out to my neck of the woods.